And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, broadcasting from BBS Radio, and welcome to the show, where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Cindy Blackman Santana is a virtuoso drummer whose artistry spans the realms of jazz and rock. As a band leader and as a musician, Cindy is a sound innovator with a passion for pushing creative boundaries and exploring movement and change. She is known for the nuances and color she brings her beats and fills as she is for the sheer power of her soulful playing. Santana has been creating magnificent musical time and space since the beginning of her career as a busking street performer in New York City in the 80s through the present day, touring the globe and making albums at the top of her game, including the critically acclaimed Another Lifetime. In addition to collaborating on stage and in studio with her own group, also known as Another Lifetime, Cindy was part of the Tony Williams Lifetime tribute band called Spectrum Road with Jack Bruce, Vernon Reid, and John Medeski from 1992 to 2007, and again in 2014 and 15. She was the drummer in Lenny Kravitz's band, performing through multiple world tours and hit albums. In 2010, she was part of the all-star lineup performing Bitches Brew, a tribute to Miles Davis, seminal album staged at the San Francisco Jazz Festival and New York City Winter Jazz Fest. Most recently, Cindy has become the regular touring drummer for Santana, having met several years earlier at a festival in Europe while she was touring with Kravitz. Cindy first played with Santana in spring 2010 when drummer Dennis Chambers had a previous commitment. They have a great band vibe. It's nice to play with people who have grown together, built a sound together, and stayed together, she says. When that happens, you can create so many different levels of communication. That's why they've done, and I love reacting with it and being part of it. Electricity on stage generated chemistry off stage. Legendary guitarist Carlos Santana proposed to Cindy during a July 2010 concert, and they married in December. Looking ahead, they will collaborate artistically as well on projects that will no doubt reflect their shared passion for improvisation and belief in the transcendent nature of music. Cindy was an integral part of the new Santana Isley Brothers release, Power of Peace, featuring the song I Remember, which she wrote and sings. To me, she says, music is completely spiritual. It's the way you connect with your higher self with the universe. It's also a way to share light with millions of people. They don't need to speak your language, have your beliefs, or be in the same place you are. The music speaks. It channels good energy and makes a difference in people's lives. Carlos and I are both conscious of doing that. The past few months have been a blur for Cindy Blackman Santana, who is currently touring and performing with her husband, Carlos Santana, is featured as a vocalist, drummer, and songwriter on Power of Peace. The new Santana Isley Brothers collaboration has been touring with their own band and recording tracks in the studio with legendary producer Narada Michael Walden. Together through Walden's Tarpon Records label, recently released the new single Fun Party Splash, featuring Carlos Santana on all digital platforms. Please welcome drummer and percussionist Cindy Blackman Santana to the Ray Shasho Show. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, and thank you for having me.
Man, you've got a lot of things happening. You know what I really like about this interview? What I really like about this interview is me and you were born the same year. I always love to talk to people my own age because, you know, most of the time, a lot of these legends are like, you know, they're getting in their 60s, late 60s, 70s. you know, and it's always cool to, because, you know, we've experienced a lot of the same music and, you know, concerts and things like that. So, well, welcome to my age.
Good reference points.
You were born in Yellow Springs, Ohio, which had a population of only about 3,500, I think the census said in 2010. Yet, you, David Chappelle, Richie Furie, who was in Buffalo, Springfield, and Poco, the actor John Lithgow, and many others were also from that city. I find that incredible. It's such a small...
Yeah, and it's not even a city. They call it a large village. And it's not changed very much because when I was growing up, the population was 3,000.
Wow!
So, you know,
really,
it's not really grown that much. It kind of stays, you know, small and quaint, and it's nice because it's a wonderful little oasis, and especially, you know, in Ohio, which is very, very conservative. Yellow Springs is the opposite. It's really, really completely liberal. So it's an interesting little niche, and it's very artistic too. There are a lot of creative things happening there, a lot of creative people. So it's a nice little niche.
With such a small population, you must have ran into those guys, huh? David Chappelle and Richie Furie, and did you run into those guys?
No, they weren't there. No? They weren't there when I was growing up. No.
Okay.
I was born there, so you know, I was there from birth too, and I left when I was about 11 years old. So at least Dave Chappelle, I know he got there way after I left. So
right.
Yeah, my cousins run into him though. My cousins
see
him on the street all the time. They tell me, yeah.
you left there and went to, is it Connecticut? From there and then
yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, you got all your contacts. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. We went to Connecticut. We lived in a couple different towns there. And then from Connecticut, I moved to Boston to go to Berklee College of Music. And then I went back to Connecticut just briefly for just a matter of months, maybe 2 months. And then I moved to New York.
That's a lot of your connections that you met were in New York, I'm assuming. A lot of people that you met there.
Oh, absolutely. That's where it all started to really, really happen.
You've got a rather lengthy tour going on with Santana. Is that the start of the tour on September 11th, or is this continuing from another leg of the tour?
This is continuing. We've been on about a two and a half, three week break. We're starting up again in Anaheim, and then we go to Las Vegas, and we play the House of Blues there. So, this is a continuation. We've had a really nice amount of playing time and a really beautiful run musically. So this will all continue over the course of the next couple of days. We start up again.
Yeah, Santana plays a lot at the House of Blues and at Mandalay Bay, right?
Exactly. Carlos has a residency there, and it happens 4 times a year, which is really nice because it's an intimate place. It's always packed, but it's great for the audience because they're really close to the band. It's great for the band too because you can really feel the audience. So he calls it his laboratory. So it's a nice, it's a nice, wonderful place to play.
A lot of guys I've talked to love the casinos. Also, you know, they love to play. They love to play Vegas. There's more and more rock legends that are playing Vegas, and I think it's great. I think it's a great venue.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, it is. It's nice that there's a desire for the music. I mean, I'm certainly not into the casino scene at all. I don't gamble and won't gamble. It's just not on my radar. But the thing is that they love music, so, you know, that's perfect. It's perfect for us.
Not only are you going to be there, but you're coming to Florida. You'll be in Jacksonville, Orlando, and you're coming to the Tampa Bay area, very close to me, at Amalie Arena. And then, of course, you'll be at Hard Rock in Hollywood as well. So we'll definitely have to check you out in Florida.
Oh, perfect. Please do. Let us know that you're there. Say hello.
Definitely. And then you'll be in Cancun also, right? Aren't you? Don't you have a gig in Cancun?
I believe we do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a little later. That's after the House of Blues, exactly.
After the House of Blues gigs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently interviewed Candace Knight, who performs with her husband Richie Blackmore. I've talked to Candace several times. So, being married to Carlos now and being in the band, do you get any kind of preferential treatment, or are you treated like all the other guys in the band?
No, it's really even. You know,
it's even, right?
It's
I figured
even.
That.
You know, it has to be. You know.
Yeah.
But that's certainly the way it is, and. I actually prefer that.
Well, Carlos seems pretty laid back, you know. I saw Santana, I don't know how many times, probably more than anybody else, ever since the, I don't know, 1971 or something like that, way back when. And he's always been laid back, so he must be pretty easy to work with.
Well, you know, it's that's a wheel that was way in motion long before I came along, so
yeah.
They certainly had their own flow, and you know, the thing was rolling already,
right.
You know. So, and the flow continues. You know, I mean, I'm a different person, so I add whatever my personality brings, and the other new people add whatever their new personalities bring to the situation. But you know, the wheels keep turning and the flow keeps going, and I think, you know, that says a lot for Carlos's energy, because he's been, you know, playing and doing this for such a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, with a lot of passion, you know, and a lot of success too. So yeah, it's a nice wheel that's in motion, and it's great to be on that wheel and to help, you know, keep it rolling. It's really great. Yeah, the energy is off the hook.
Well, you're a great drummer. I've seen you everywhere. You know you've done a lot of collaborations, and you know, of course with Lenny Kravitz. You got your videos with him. You're an awesome drummer. You know, everybody loves you, and your hair is incredible.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love your look. Your look is so cool, and you look great for your age, by the way. Because I can say that.
Right,
you look like you're in your 30s, man.
I was going to say 27 never felt better.
All right, 27. All right, well, 27 and holding. How's that? How long did it take you to learn the Santana repertoire? I always wondered about, you know, when a new musician comes into a, you know, legendary band. But, I mean, was it hard to learn some of the songs, or not really?
You know, there's... Like I said, there was a wheel that was already in motion, and when you have that, and when you have people that have been, you know, playing together for so long, because, you know, a couple of his members have played with him for like 30 years, so they just have things that they do naturally. So just to learn, you know, where all the pieces come together, where all the accentuations are, where all the pulse changes are, where all the feel changes are, you know,
right.
that takes a minute just to ingest that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a natural thing, because, you know, like I said, when you have a machine that's already very well oiled,
exactly.
And you step in, you just have to learn where the curvatures are and where the turns are, you know, and then once you do that, you're all set to go.
Yeah, I give you a lot of credit, though. You make it sound so easy, you know?
Oh, thank you.
It's incredible to just step into, you know, I've talked to people that were in like, you know, a couple of different bands, you know, and they say the same thing, you know? They just step in and fill in for, you know, people, and they just say the same thing. It's like you said, there's a wheel in motion already, and you just got to, you know, jump aboard, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know what? Is it difficult to play drums with a congo player and the timbales player performing at the same time? I mean, does that you ever go off beat or anything playing with these guys? Or How does that work?
Oh no, that's not difficult at all. Not with those two.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to share the space, you know,
mm-hmm.
and allow the music to breathe. But that's not difficult because they're both Carl's incredible, and so is Paoli.
Right.
So playing with them is a world of rhythm that just doesn't stop, you know. So it's awesome.
You got that jazz lingo, you know, when you mentioned space. You know, I'm kind of friends with Billy Cobham, and he's a good guy. We've talked, you know, many times together on the phone, and have done interviews with him. And he teaches a lot. You know, he does a lot of these clinics and stuff. Is that something you would be into, or start teaching, like, maybe new drummers? I know we need new drummers and you know, new blood in there.
You know, I've done some teaching here and there, but
right.
I really only want to do it if there's somebody who's really, really into it. It's not something that I would just do just to have something to do. You know, it would just take a special student or a special up-and-coming drummer for me to want to do that. You know,
right.
I love doing clinics, and I've done clinic tours. I've played lots of clinics over the years, not in the last couple of years, but you know, previously I've done a whole lot of clinics, and I love doing that because I love talking about drums. I love being in an atmosphere where people are just totally about and into the drums.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really exciting for me. So yeah, and I look forward to doing more of those, and I plan on doing more of those because it's a wonderful way to really talk about the history of drums, the lineage, and you know where I see things, and then to interact with the audience too. You know, you can also gain some other points of view, but it's just a nice way to share a lineage of an art form that I think is really beautiful.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Billy did some online teaching, you know, like by Skype, and he's got this big thing he does like every once a year where, I mean, it's for all types of musicians, for every instrument, you know, but a lot of these guys already have some, you know, lots of talent. I think they just want to take it to the next level. But I think in an interview you said we definitely need more young drummers out there, some new blood coming in, and definitely more females for sure.
I've seen some, you know, I've been blessed because I've seen some really incredible drum clinics. I've you know, over the years, mm-hmm. I've seen Tony Williams do clinics. I've seen Elvin Jones do clinics.
Yep.
It's really amazing to experience them on that kind of intimate level. And I say intimate because, you know, they're usually not playing with bands. So you really just get to hear the drums and hear their approach, you know. And Elvin was very insightful and interesting and creative. You know, he talked mm-hmm. about the color of sounds, and he's talked about that in videos too, but to see him do it in person was just really amazing because different elements of the drum kit to him are different colors,
right?
You know, so yeah, it's a great thing. I love it.
Yeah, I was watching a show. I think it's I forgot the name of it, but these are people that are kind of geniuses, and it's like a game show, and this one girl can see color in music. You can actually see the color in music, and I thought that was really fascinating.
It is, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Be able to do that is incredible. You you talked about Tony Williams. He was a big part of your life, and you ended up recording a tribute album to Tony, which was incredible. And another guy that was very big in your life was Art Blakey, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah. The two of them are incredible. I mean, Tony's my biggest drum hero, and mm-hmm. Art Blakey is like my dad. You know, we got to be really close.
How cool is that?
For his kids. Totally. I was at his house all the time when he wasn't on tour, you know. And so to be around him that much was amazing. I rehearsed his band before, you know. He used to let me sit in, and I used to go see him all the time, you know, always sitting by the drums. And I remember one amazing time that I went to see Art was at this club, which is it closed in the early 90s. It was called McHale's in New York, and I felt stuck with my comping. And so I went downstairs. Art was in the basement, you know, before playing. And I told him, I said, I'm feeling really stuck with my comping. Can you give me some tips? And he said, go upstairs and sit next to the drums and wait. And so I did. I went upstairs and I grabbed the closest seat, which was right next to the drums. And he came upstairs and he proceeded to play so incredibly, and every time he wanted me to check out something, he'd look over at me and wink. So, you know, the lesson was amazing, and the lessons with him always continued, whether they were life lessons or direct music lessons. It was just incredible to be around him. So, you know, and then being on the New York scene, not only did you have Art Blakey and Tony Williams, but you had Elvin Jones, you had Philly Joe Jones, Roy Haynes, Max Roach, Ed Blackwell, Louis Hayes, Jimmy Cobb, Al Foster, Billy Hart. I mean, so many amazing musicians that you could just go see, you know, and that's just the drummers.
Yeah.
But it was a great thing to be exposed to, and it was a great time in the history of not only music, but in the history of jazz music, because there were so many innovators who created that music who were still alive and playing and very vibrant, you know. So it was amazing to watch Art Blakey or to watch Dexter Gordon or Dizzy Gillespie. You know, these people created bebop. You know, they created jazz. You know,
yeah.
To go see Herbie and Tony and Wayne and Ron, you know, perform, to see Freddie Hubbard, to see Clark Terry, all these different people that you could go see. I even saw Sam Jones. To go see him was beautiful. McCoy Tyner, you know, so many people. And like I said, these are the innovators who, most of them are the innovators who created the music. So it was really incredible, and it's amazing that the music has grown so far in such a short time. Historically, when you look at the amount of time that jazz has been in existence, and bebop has been in existence, and then the modern form of that has been in existence, it's very short, actually.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of creativity and innovation that has happened really very quickly.
Oh, I love jazz. I love fusion. I've always loved fusion and progressive rock, which is very intricate, you know, playing. It reminds me a lot of jazz, you know, because they get into a lot of that, you know.
Well, it is, because, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't give him credit, but a jazz drummer is the one who created jazz rock, and that's
right.
Tony Williams. And
yep.
Miles got it from Tony. You know, Miles wasn't playing electric stuff before he saw Tony Williams' Lifetime.
Right.
And Mahavishnu was John McLaughlin's group, and he was playing with Lifetime. So that's all Tony's concept, you know. So all those bands, all those 70s bands, whether they realize it or not, they owe Lifetime. And all the bands after that, you know, they owe a great debt to what Tony did, and what John McLaughlin did, and what Larry Young did in that first band, and then what Jack Bruce added in that band when he came along. And he came along in the second record. The first record was called Emergency, and that was just a trio. And then the second record was called Turn It Over, and that was with Jack added. And so, you know, what they created just really opened up a whole another realm of expression in terms of adding different elements into the music, you know, and it was exactly what Tony called it, jazz rock. But it was also more, because they played rhythms from other cultures as well. you know, like Brazilian rhythms, Indian rhythms. They played funk rhythms. They played all kinds of stuff. You know, you can even see traces of classical music in there. So, you know, there's a whole world that they really, really opened up, and it gave us many, many more choices.
Your new collaborator, am I saying his name right? Is it Narada? Narada, Michael Walden?
Uh-huh.
Okay, he replaced Billy Cobham, I think, in Mahavishnu.
I love his playing. I loved what he brought to that band, because his feel, to me, is
incredible.
Really loose and open, and he's incredibly powerful, but he's also very musical. So, you know, I really love what he brought to that band.
Well, he's got a huge history. I mean, besides being a fantastic producer, he's played on so many albums. I know he's played with, besides Mahavishnu, he's played with so many people, including...
He played with Jeff Beck, I mean, on one
Jeff
of my
Beck.
Favorite Jeff Beck albums, too.
The Wired
you know,
album,
he's,
right?
He's a great, great musician, absolutely.
Yeah, he was on the Wired album. And he played with...
Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember now. One of my favorite guys who was on this... One of my favorite albums was Spectrum, the Spectrum album, with Jack Bruce... not Jack Bruce... Oh, my goodness. I'm having one of those senior moments. I had to talk about age, right? With Billy Cobham. And I'm trying to think of the name of the guy I'm trying to think about, and I can't. You know, he passed away. It'll come to me anyway. Anyway, I want to talk about your new song, your new single as well, which is really cool. I love it. It's a real – it needs to be played every summer for sure.
Thank you.
what? And Carlos, of course, is on the song. What support you have marrying Carlos Santana? You know, I mean, that's awesome.
It's, you know, it is awesome, but that actually had absolutely nothing to do with it. When I met Carlos, I was looking for really. And I wasn't really looking when I met him, but what I was missing in my life was somebody who was on the same spiritual path and on a very
spiritual path.
Exactly.
You guys are a lot alike. You are a lot alike.
And so, when I met him, as great as he is musically, it had nothing to do with that. That's icing on the cake. Really, it was for me what I felt and saw from the person, you know, who's offstage, and he exudes his spirituality on stage as well, but you know what got me was the spiritual path that he was on and what I felt about him spiritually, and so that to me is the cherry, and then the icing is that he's also an incredible musician.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I love Carlos. He's always been one of my favorites.
I love him too.
Yeah, I know. To be in awe of him and then marry him, it's pretty cool, isn't it? How long was your? Did you have a long romance or a short romance before you got married?
Our romance was really fast because
was it fast?
We married 7 months after we met.
Right.
And you know. I know I heard it from my side, and I'm sure he heard it from his side as well. Wait a minute, 7 months? You don't even know this person. You just met, blah, 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 blah. But I just felt that he was at a point in his life where he had gone through wherever he went through, and he knew what he wanted. And I was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I hadn't been married, but I had been engaged, and I had, you know, long relationships. That were treated as though we were married. And, you know, I at that point knew what I wanted and knew what I didn't want. So I think neither one of us felt that there was a need to belabor something that we both felt in our hearts was right.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he meet you when you were with Lenny?
Yeah, we first met actually in 2005, and I was touring with Lenny
Right.
And we were playing a concert in Germany, and the other band on the same stage that day was the Santana band. And my meeting with him was just a brief hi and nice to meet you. There were actually no sparks. I was kind of dating somebody at that time, and
right.
he was married at that time. So it was I wasn't even looking. I'm a very monogamous person, so I wasn't looking. That I knew in the band was the person who was the drummer at the time, Dennis Chambers, and
right.
we were buddies because I've known Dennis since I was about 14. So I was really kind of just hanging with Dennis, and we were watching videos of Tony Williams and you know, talking about our love for Tony and, you know, sharing stories about Tony. And then I went to play my concert. They played their concert, and that was it. But it wasn't until 2010, so 5 years later, when Dennis couldn't make a gig and Carlos needed a sub, and he called me to do it. And then things were different on his end. They were different on my end. I had been single for a bit of time there, and he was divorced at that time and single. So we just, you know, sparks started to happen. There was a chemistry there. And
right.
the rest is kind of history.
That's awesome. Do you have any Latin blood in you at all, or...?
I do now.
You do now?
we have a little bit to attend to that, and my mom was giving me our history, and, you know, we have cultures, actually. We have African, for sure, Native American.
Right.
We have some European, some Scottish, some Irish, and a little bit of Spanish.
A little bit of Spanish. Is he teaching you a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I think Spanish was my first language. Was my not my first language, my language in high school of choice.
Right, right.
Right. And I lived in Harlem for about 10 years, and there were
right.
A lot of Dominicans in my area, and they thought that I was Dominican, so they used to speak to me in Spanish. So at that time, I could actually speak Spanish fairly well enough to, you know, to get around, to go to stores and to take taxis and to do what I needed to do.
Sure.
But then I forgot it all after I moved away. So, you know, he gives me a couple little Spanish lessons here and there, and I pick up a couple things, but mostly we speak English.
Well, my mom was Cubana. She was Cuban. So I learned, you know, her. Yeah, I grew up in a Cuban household. So I ate very good as a kid.
Oh, I bet
good
you
Cuban
did.
Food.
Cuban food is great. I'm sure you ate very well.
As a matter of fact, my brother was supposed to go to Cuba Monday, and they just canceled his trip. He was going to take a cruise because he was born in Cuba. And he was going to see my grandmother's old apartment is still there in really good shape. So he was going to go check it out and everything. But they canceled the trip.
Wow.
So they got to reschedule.
Yeah. Well, hopefully when the weather's better, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But you can definitely pass for Cuban. I can teach you the Cuban accent if you want.
I've been told, and I went to Brazil, and they told me I was Brazilian.
Brazil also. You know? You can be Brazilian as well, yeah.
We went I was over there with Steve Turay and Buster Williams, and
right.
we wanted to go to the favelas because they were rehearsing for Carnival. So they told us to, you know, put on the funkiest jeans and old sneakers and take all our jewelry off if we had any.
Right.
And so, you know, they said, Cindy, you can probably walk around anywhere you want. Just don't talk. As long as they don't hear your accent, they're going to think you're from here.
That's
so
true.
Act like you know where you're going and what you're doing, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I call myself a chameleon because I could kind of, I don't care what race, what level of income you have, where you're from, I can mix right in.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. The Santana Isley Brothers collaboration is incredible. The album is called Power of Peace. You've got a lot of great cover songs. One of my favorites is Mercy, Mercy Me, the Marvin Gaye classic. You've got a Billie Holiday song. You've got Muddy Waters, Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground, which is also another one of my favorites. That must have been a fun album to do. I think you did 16 songs in 4 days, is what Carlo said.
Yes, we did. Yes, yeah, the band was on fire. You know, it's a great record. And to be able to play with an incredible balladeer, you know, he can really carry a melody. So, you know, when you have two people who really carry melodies, Carlos and Ronnie, together, it really creates some beautiful synergy, you know. And Ernie is as well. He's a fantastic guitar player. So his addition is amazing. And the songs are all great, and they're beautiful, the music. So that record is one of my favorites. I really love that whole collaboration and all of the music that came out of it.
Well, it's incredible. Another favorite, Gypsy Woman. That's another one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah, Gypsy Woman is beautiful. I love that vibe. Yeah. It's really wonderful. Carlos had some really great ideas for not only the songs, but, you know, for the feels and playing them, you know, in really musical ways. So, it, you know, and that is one of the songs that came out in a really, really soulful way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great album. I love the album. It'd be nice. It'd be cool to see you guys tour with the Isley Brothers. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. We, you know, they sat in with us a couple times, and that's all that's been thus far.
Yeah, we don't get to see the Isley Brothers too much anymore, you know?
You cut out a little bit.
Yeah, I know. So did you. Hurricane starting.
I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, you're on your cell phone? Okay.
Yeah.
Just find one area maybe that won't break up.
I'm actually in a car. We're on the way to the airport because we're...
Oh, are you?
Well, yeah, we're getting ready to start our tour. Carlos has a lot of press that he's going to do in L.A. for the Dolores Huerta movie that he produced.
Right. Awesome.
Which, if you haven't heard about that movie... It's a must-see movie. Dolores Huerta is the person who was really the engine behind Cesar Chavez and the Yes We Can, the Si Se Puede slogan.
Right.
It's her slogan. She came up with that, and she's like the driving force. And she's 87, still a real sojourner and fighter for civil equality and workers' rights. And she's just really amazing. So this is a movie that's a real must see.
So is the movie out?
It's coming out.
Okay.
I think in a week or so.
Right.
I don't know the exact date. But yeah, it's coming out very soon.
What's the name of it?
It's called Dolores.
Okay. All right. We'll be looking for that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you made a statement that is so true. You know, I love music since I was a kid, and if it wasn't for music, I probably wouldn't be around today. I mean, music is guided me, kind of like a religion. You said music is a way to share light with millions of people. They don't need to speak your language, have your beliefs, or to be in the same place you are. The music speaks, it channels good energy, and makes a difference in people's lives. That's such a powerful statement, you know, that you made.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's incredible.
And it does.
Yeah,
it's
it does.
Very healing. It's a healing force.
I mean, if you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what side of politics or religion you're in. If you guys share the love of music, that's all that matters, pretty much.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, most of us timeline our lives to what songs we're playing on the radio at different stages of our lives. Because I've talked to a lot of people that do that, and that shows you how powerful it is.
That's right. That's right. It's and like I said, it's a healer, and it, you know, it brings people together. It heals people. It it's a communicator, and you know, it cuts down barriers and walls and veils that people have and build up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I do worry a little bit about the genre of jazz, rock, and the blues, you know, because it's not prevalent, you know, in the mainstream like it used to be, you know.
It should be, you know, and that's a shame. It should be, but don't worry too much because I'm still breathing. As long as I'm still breathing, jazz will be alive.
We still have you. We still have Carlos. We have guys in the blues. We have Buddy Guy still around. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are you getting out of the car and going to the airport now? Do you need to get off?
We are. I'm so sorry, but yes, we are. I didn't
okay.
know that our flight was leaving so early, which is why I agreed to this particular time slot.
Right.
And when our flight info came in, I thought, okay, well, I'll just do the interview in the car, which,
sure.
you know, I've done so far.
Yep.
And I hope you guys don't mind. I'm really excited and honored to be here and to talk with you. I hope you check out Fun Party Splash. I have a new record that's going to come out following Fun Party Splash.
Okay.
With more vocal songs, more instrumentals. Carlos is playing on the instrumentals and the vocals. John McLaughlin's on it. Vernon Reed.
Oh, awesome!
On it.
Great.
Yeah, host of people. Yeah, host of people, and really just, you know, very excited about that, and very excited about the Power of Peace. We've also been in the studio recording the next Santana record, so
right.
that's
oh,
going to come out too. Yeah, that's going to be really exciting. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, you know, happening, a lot of projects going on.
Tell Carlos I was very excited when he did that reunion album. And I've interviewed Greg Rowley a few times, and just to see the guys back together again was incredible. Neil Sean.
Oh, I will. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I
really love that album. And, you know, I'm a Santana fan from way back. Sydney, thank you so
wonderful.
Much, man, for being on the show today, for all the great music you bring us, and good luck on the road, and we'll see you in Florida.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. And please do come to the show, and, you know, please let us know so we can, you know, sort you out with passes or whatever it is you need. And I'd love to shake hands and meet you in person. And you know, it'd be wonderful to connect that way as well.
That'll be awesome. Thank you so much, Cindy. Have a great flight and everything, and a great tour.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so
All right.
much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Have a beautiful day. Bye.
You too.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
You can purchase the Fun Party Splash single on Amazon.com and on iTunes. For more information about Cindy Blackman Santana, please visit her social media pages or website at www.cindyblackmansantana.com. You can also purchase the latest album by the Isley Brothers and Santana, fantastic collaboration called Power of Peace, also at Amazon.com. Very special thanks to the great Billy James of Glass Onion PR for arranging this interview with Cindy Blackman Santana, and Doug and Don Newsom with BBS Radio for making it all happen every show. Please join me bi-weekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on The Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552. Or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And please don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business. Or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. You can also listen to all my past interviews at www.bbsradio.com/The Ray Shasho Show, and also on YouTube. Every interview is on YouTube, www.youtube.com/user/RockRaymond2011. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by The Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio, Station 1.